Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Munga.
Good afternoon, my brother, and how are you and the listeners?
I'm very well, thank you, and I hope the pastor, the listeners are well as well. How are you doing this afternoon? Are you good?
I'm good and great, and how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic and great as well. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for asking. We are continuing with our conversation that we started on Monday, faith-based approach to emotional well-being. And there is unspeakable joy for the person who knows release from guilt and the release of forgiveness. That's coming here from Stuart Briscoe. Now, guilt is mainly caused by the way we think about God's expectations of us, our sins, our mistakes, and the remedy for those. Now, guilt enters a thought which creates a feeling, and then we live by that feeling. And sometimes that guilt comes about because we struggle to forgive those who have harmed us. It is a reasonable expectation to forgive and forget, even when our feelings are not aligned yet. Now, Pastor, how should Christians express feelings of resentment and bitterness that linger after they have tried to forgive?
Thank you very much. In the first place, what we need to know, or what we need to do as a Christian when those feelings linger, is that we need to be honest with God. In other words, you don't have to suppress bitterness, but bring it out. Be honest with God. Bring it out. And as you bring it out, you remember forgiveness is a choice. Mm. You keep choosing forgiveness as a process.
Yeah.
You keep forgiving. Forgiveness as a process. This is an ongoing choice. Today I've chosen to forgive.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I should still have the same choice of forgiving. And at the same time, I also have to release justice to God. Remember Romans 12 verse 19 says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So it's important for us to remind ourselves that vengeance belongs to God.
Yeah.
It is God to pay back if at all there is something that needs to be paid back, or God who has to revenge for us. And also we have to remember how much we have been forgiven. I have been forgiven. So I should also need to forgive another person. So what has happened to me, the forgiveness that has been extended from God to me, is what I extend to another person. Then it's also important to seek support from others. We are a faith-based community. We need to help each other as brothers and sisters. When you find that some emotions, some feelings, you cannot do away with them, there is continued lingering, you seek support from others. At the same time, you can also replace bitterness with prayer and blessing. Remember, the Bible says, pray for those who persecute you. Instead of having a grudge against someone, you pray for that person. Pronounce a blessing upon that person in the name of the Lord. And finally, we can seek healing and renewal of mind, because it has also to be the state of mind that you have to shift now from bitterness, like we have said, to prayer and also blessing those people who are our enemies or our perceived enemies.
Now, in what ways can we harm rather than help in an attempt to resolve conflict by prematurely bringing forgiveness and reconciliation? For example, you're a Christian, so you must forgive your abuser. I think it links up with your answer.
For sure, we can bring harm rather than healing when we minimize the wound. You have been hurt, but I make your wounds as if it's a trivial, as if it's not a big thing to you. I make it trivial when actually the pain is real. You have experienced it. And also we can cause more harm by ignoring the need for truth and justice. Genuine reconciliation requires truth-telling and accountability, and which means that the offender should not escape responsibility. Much as the offender has been forgiven, but the offender should not escape responsibility. David offended, he was forgiven, but he did not escape responsibility. He was punished.
Mm.
He was called to account for his sins. So even as we do so, the same say, no, you are a Christian, just forgive. No. Reconciliation should not be forced. That it should happen now. No, it is a process. You remember even the issue of Joseph and the brothers.
Mm.
By the time God allowed the brothers to go to Egypt, Joseph had healed. Joseph had seen the big picture, such that when he looked at them, he wept. He felt for them.
Mm.
So there was no rushing, that no reconciliation must be rushed. You have to do it now because you are Christian, just forget and forgive. No, it should be given time, meaning shortcutting the process of healing.
Mm.
Emotional wounds, like physical ones, they need time. They need time, and they also need care to heal. The way you approach the offended party also matters. It needs a lot of tact, and it needs a lot of care. But above all, it needs time. Because when you want to shortcut the process, we are misrepresenting the character of God.
Mm.
God forgives freely, but he calls for confession. He calls for repentance, and he calls for transformation.
Mm.
And we can't expect that to be done in a shortcut.
Yeah, true. Now, this expression of our feelings of resentment, really, if I don't know if we can, because you're saying that we can, talk about it and accept, et cetera, and that at the end of the day, we have not really addressed them. Now, don't they come back because you're thinking, well, I took shortcuts here, and 5 years later, the feelings come back and you still have that resentment?
For sure, because like we have said, the way God calls us to confess,
mm.
when we genuinely confess, like it was the case of David. Remember when David went after someone's wife, offended? He genuinely repented. When we genuinely repent, when we confess something, we are pouring out. We are releasing ourselves.
Mm.
But when we do not do that thoroughly, like we have said, when you use a shortcut, you expect that to come out. It's like a wound. The wound is there. You don't even get the pus out. You just put a bandage inside there, gives that person the painkiller. The painkillers will work for 30 seconds, but after that, the pain will come. Then the best is to press this wound, let the pus come out. It's a painful process, but you know that you want a permanent solution to this. But when we use a shortcut, we expect that this wound will come again because it has not been adequately healed. It has not been adequately attended to.
Mm. Yeah. Now, what are healthy ways to process difficult emotions and feelings of suffering through faith?
We need to keep an eternal perspective to life. That means we need to acknowledge that the great controversy is real. The great controversy is real. We are living in a world of suffering. We are living in a world of pain. We need to look for a redemptive purpose. Like in the case of Joseph we have talked about, suffering can depend our sense of compassion.
Mm.
Look at Joseph. He is thrown in the pit. As if that is not enough, he is pulled out, he is sold. And the ones who are doing that are his biological brothers. That was painful. But as the Bible narrative continues there in Genesis 39, it says, and the Lord was with him. He is sold in a place, at least now he has got a peace of mind. Before he arises, he is accused of something, he is thrown in prison.
Mm.
The great controversy is real. But Joseph, later on, as God opened the picture, he saw the bigger picture. Like when he told the brothers in there, Genesis chapter 50, when the brothers were still afraid, he says, no. What you did actually is God who allowed you. So that he can save life. He had now seen the big picture.
Mm.
That in all this suffering, actually God was working out something.
Mm-hmm.
So even as we need to look for the redemptive purpose. Yes, he was sold, but God had a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
When this mm-hmm. boy is sold there, he's going to pass through this. And even what he passed through, it was a school that made him to be a good vice president in Egypt because mm-hmm. of what he passed mm-hmm. through. He now knew how to treat people. He was in prison. Even there, he was learning a lot of things. It was a painful process, but there was a purpose for that. So even as we need to know that, even when I'm passing through pain,
mm.
God could be passing me through a school through some lessons that I may not get at school.
Yeah. Now, what about feelings of guilt, Pastor? I mean, what does the Bible say about feeling guilty after confessing one's sin? Is it natural to feel shame and regret for disappointing God and myself? Or those are ungodly emotions?
No, they are godly emotions. After all, if you do not feel guilt and shame, you can't repent. You can't repent. But those things were given to us by God. We see that this is wrong. What I've done is wrong. A remedy is supposed to be done. I'm supposed to confess this to God. But when we do not turn to God, it is that guilt and shame now that works against you. Because guilt and shame is a double-edged sword. When that shame and guilt does not lead to God, you go now to the Judas Iscariot this way. He felt the guilt, the shame. Instead of turning to God, then he kills himself. And there are a lot of people who have committed suicide because of what they have done in the past. They have not forgiven themselves. They have not turned. They have not taken this burden to the Lord. They carry it, they carry it, they carry it. Some people have gone into depression because of some personal issues. When you carry a burden, it can crush you. But when the burden is taken to God, he is the burden bearer. He gives us relief. Talk about David, who committed adultery. He was the head of state. He killed the husband of this person, tried to bury this thing, but he was forgiven, and he never talked about that again.
Now, before I let you go, Pastor, how can someone find comfort in their faith when experiencing emotional distress?
We need to rest in God's presence. God has said there in Matthew chapter 28, that should be the last verse there, verse 20, I am with you to the end of the age. So even when someone, everyone leaves you, you are emotionally distressed, God has said, I'm with you. Also remember the Holy Spirit. Jesus repeatedly says, I will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Comforter is someone who goes with you on the journey. Someone who is with you, even when everyone else has left you, he is with you. Remember also to worship through pain, like Job. Worship through pain. This is a Job after losing everyone, everything that mattered in life. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives. Even when we are passing through pain, we can worship. And also we need to remember God's faithfulness. Even when I'm passing through pain, emotional turmoil, God has not forsaken you. God still loves you. And also bearing in mind, above all things, that there is nothing you can do to make God to love you more or to make God to love you less. So his love is ever 100%. Like he spoke to Paul, my grace is sufficient. It is enough.
You know, Pastor, this is a fantastic, fantastic subject and teaches us quite a lot of things that we got to know. But we got to leave it there for today. And we're hoping that we're going to be connecting you with you tomorrow at the same time and same place. Blessings to you.
It's my pleasure. I receive the blessing. Blessings to you and all our listeners.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Goodbye.
A pleasure. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.